and welcome to Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. I'm a business journalist. I've been writing about and talking about M&A for a decade. In this episode, we're hearing about how Mexico is more optimistic than its Latin American peer Brazil when it comes to M&A activity for the rest of this year. That's despite M&A volumes in Brazil growing a whopping 66% in the first half of 2024, compared to more modest growth in Mexico. To find out more, I'm joined by Tiago Barroso, who is a Latin America editor. Hi, Tiago. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much, Juliana. It's a pleasure to be here once again.
So could you begin by explaining why Mexico is more optimistic on deal activity in the second half of this year compared to Brazil, even though Brazil saw much bigger deal volumes in the first half of the year?
For sure. First, I would like to share some data with our listeners. So in the first half of the year, Brazil's M&A volume grew 66% on a year-over-year basis to $18.7 billion. While Mexico's M&A volume was up $10 billion, up 32% on the same basis of comparison. What we have been seeing is that there is a new movement of investments flowing into Mexico in opposition to what we noticed in the early 2000s, when Mexico suffered a strong exodus of investments to China. Now these investments are coming back in a movement that we called friendshoring, which refers to outsourcing production to countries with good relations with the U.S., as opposed to China, whose relations with the U.S. have soured in recent years. Another important aspect is that there is a generational change of leaders in large family businesses in Mexico. For those who might not be familiar with Mexican economy, family-owned businesses make up most of the companies in Mexico. And this new generation, they have a greater interest in going public. So I would pinpoint these two key factors as the main drivers for the optimism.
Thank you. And you mentioned friendshoring. Can you explain how that concept, friendshoring, is affecting Mexico's M&A landscape, please?
Definitely. Since there is a political tension between Washington and Beijing, many companies that want to serve the U.S. market, or even U.S. companies, they want to establish their facilities. They want to product their, they want to set up their production in Mexico, which is much closer to the U.S. for logistics reasons, and even for NAFTA, the North America Free Trade Agreement, that involves Mexico, the U.S., Mexico, the U.S., and Canada. So Mexico, especially the northern part of the country, has become very appealing for companies that want to serve the U.S. market. We have been seeing that a lot. And it's important to say that it involves all the sectors. I'm not talking about a specific sector, but anything related to products, production, has been looking and paying very close attention to the northern part of Mexico.
And it seems that we can't escape it on any of our recordings at the moment, but there is the US presidential election on the horizon, with one of the candidates not overly keen on Mexico and has been talking about building a wall there for between Mexico and the US for some time. Could you outline how the US presidential election will affect the Mexican economy?
Very good question. Very, very. And then timing is very good for that, right? Many sources have told us that it's obvious that there is going to be an effect, right? There is no question about it. But the question is the size of the effect and how long that would last. And most of them believe that it's going to be temporary, right? And there is going to be an effect on the currency exchange rate, Mexican pesos versus U.S. dollars. And it has to do mostly because of potential comments from former U.S. President Donald Trump related to what we just discussed in NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, and immigration. These are two important topics for his political campaign. Although I would like to highlight that the Mexican peso reached in May its highest exchange rate to the U.S. dollars in 7 years. So even if there is a drop in terms of the value of Mexican pesos, Mexico is still in a good situation when it comes to the exchange rate.
And can we turn back to Brazil? Can you explain how Brazil's half-past tax reform is affecting deal activity, whether it's good or bad for deal activity?
Sure. It has been have a very strong impact. So the country has half passed a tax reform whose rates have yet to be defined. So I would like to bring up what one of our sources said, because I think that it symbolizes the feeling towards what's happening here in Brazil. So basically what the source said is that anyone who wants to do business in Brazil today has a blank Excel spreadsheet in front of them because they don't know how much they were paying taxes. So that obviously ends up delaying for investment and put investors in much more cautious position. And there was also a dramatic and very important event that happened here in Brazil in the end of April, which paralyzed M&A activity in the country, that were the floods in the state of Rio Grande do Sul, the southernmost state in Brazil. And that's a tragedy comparable to Hurricane Katrina in the U.S. in 2005. So about 200 people died here in Brazil because of the floods. So that put a big pause on the activity because the country was trying to understand what happened and how the country could overcome that big obstacle, that tragedy, the challenge. And companies are recovering from that process. So I would say that the floods and uncertainty surrounding the fiscal and tax reforms, they today represent the biggest challenge for investors here in Brazil.
And Tiago, Brazilian assets are good and they're reasonably well priced for the buyer market. Can you elaborate a bit more on that?
Sure. Brazil is one of the countries that lost the sites. Its local currency depreciated against the US dollars. It's ranked as one of the countries that saw the highest depreciation in recent months. So that definitely makes Brazilian assets appealing to foreign investors. And besides that, many Brazilian companies, they continue to be in a tight spot and they need to sell because of the challenges that they faced due to the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic. So that's a combination that makes it a very interesting scenario for buyers. But as we talked a couple of minutes ago, the big shock that paralyzed M&A activity in Brazil, the floods in the state of Rio Grande do Sul, and uncertainty surrounding the fiscal and tax reform, they are still challenged. So it's a bittersweet feeling, you know? You have like very good prices with very good prices, and those uncertainties preventing investors from taking action.
And can we just finish off by looking at trends in the wider region? We've looked at Brazil, we've looked at Mexico. What are the M&A and corporate trends you expect to see in the wider Latin America region for the rest of 2024?
Excellent. The U.S. elections will definitely have a huge impact on the region as a whole. The U.S. is the biggest partner to Latin America. So every country is paying attention to what would become their relation with the U.S. in a new administration. But if we ignore that for a couple of minutes and we think about promising sectors, there is the overall feeling that some industries will have a good perform despite of who is going to become the U.S. president, the next U.S. president. I think that the pandemic, they made it very clear that the region needs a huge amount of investment in healthcare, for instance. So there is a big wave of private equity firms, of VC funds looking at healthcare. Consumption, people were not able to consume what they wanted because they had to make important choices in face of the challenge put forward by the pandemic. And now it's as if the gate was open and people want to consume again. So anything related to consumption, anything related to healthcare, technology, the arrival of 5G technology in many Latin American countries, some countries are still trying to implement 4G. That requires a lot of investment. It's all about infrastructure. So that's another sector that is likely to see an important wave of investments, either from local and regional investors or foreign investors coming from the US, China, Europe, or so on. I think that these three sectors are very important to be in the mind of everyone paying attention to Latin America: healthcare, consumption, and technology.
Okay, nicely rounded up. Thanks very much, Tiago. Good to talk to you. That was Tiago Barroso, who is the Latin America editor. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed listening to the show, please follow it. And if you're listening through Apple, please rate and review the show. If you'd like to find out more about what we've been discussing on this episode, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.